Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have here the Wizard of Jingles. Others call him the Wizard L.A. Ladies and gentlemen, this is absolutely fantastic. I'm glad we're able to connect tonight because next weekend, I am so sad to say I will not be able to make the Wizard Walk unless I have to find out exactly what time I would have to leave from there to go to a Yachtly Cruise show, which would be doubly exciting. If I could accomplish two performance art pieces in one day, that'd be like a trifecta right there. One of each side of the infinity symbol of positivity and good vibes. Like, that'd be good.
That's a whole new level of magic right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Stir in the cauldron.
That would be many angles in the loaf. You cover so many loose angles there.
Loose angles, yikes a plenty. I would say, they've formed a sacred geometry at that point.
Of course, you know what would be really even more, and we've got to have our hashtag goals for this. Really,
hashtag goals.
Really,
yeah.
Just having a whole Yachtly crew.
hashtag? Would you also say hashtag wizard goals?
Wizard goals.
Yeah. Okay, please continue.
To have a whole Yachtly crew on a wizard walk.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I could magnetize a few of those guys. I will put the vibe out there. Oh, my God, that'd be brilliant. Yeah. We go, this wizard walk sponsored by Yachtly Crew and Associates.
I mean, for that, I think, you know, if we could pull it together, it would be worth building a little cardboard boat or something.
God. Oh, dude. You know, I know Paulie Shores, my brother, would be up for bringing out his saxophone, depending on if it's a day that we're not performing and he's actually a teacher. He teaches the saxophone at school.
That's beautiful.
And it's astounding. Oh, yeah. These kids have shown up to the rare occasions we have all ages shows. He'll show up. These kids will show up and then they'll go back to the school and go, oh my gosh, our music teacher is crazy. Here's some video footage. And you see him out there climbing on the picnic tables. Oh my gosh. Oh, it's so fun. When he's in rare form, he's like the total Evel Knievel of the group. He's like the guy out on the fishing line where the audience doesn't realize it, but he's like this bait on the hook. And it's like, bam, we're putting the bait on the hook and it's so delicious and nutritious. And
I think that's great. And, you know, he's doing the Lord's work, turning the youth on to things like Michael McDonald. They're not, when are they going to get an opportunity?
Wow. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, it's so interesting. Yeah. I had this blip my antenna about the idea. I kept saying to a few people, I'm like, you know what? I'm getting it on the antenna right here that Rock Band and or Guitar Hero will come out with a yacht rock version of that video.
I think
video
you're right.
And you know what? There's actually, guess what's so crazy? This is what's so insane. The news just came out. I heard the news yesterday that basically they came out with a version of yacht rock, freaking Rock Band. Yacht rock band.
Yeah.
So you're gonna play Baby Come Back. You're gonna have freaking Ambrosia, Toto. Oh my gosh! We've been surfing on the wave of this sensation. Oh,
then they're gonna
gosh.
Know all those songs.
Oh, wow.
It's beautiful. I think you need to get in on the DLC. There needs to be the Yachtly Crew DLC content there that comes in. It's some special character unlock or something, I think.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah, that'd be great. You know, maybe like, okay, you save up a certain amount of business cards. You bring us back those. Like, we trade it like currency. It becomes valuable. Like, okay, you can either give those away, which is equally as valuable, or you could save 15 or 20 of these, and then you cash them back in, and now you get a free T-shirt. Or you give us, you know, X amount, and then now you are guaranteed access, you know, front row for this particular thing. We'll make sure you're right there in the front row. You're right there up against the stage. So then you create currency with the business cards. So now they really mean something, you know. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, make them even more useful.
Dude, Oh yeah, it goes beyond Bitcoin. It goes beyond the Federal Reserve notes. Oh my God, how crazy would that be if Yodlee grew business cards become the next world's currency and nobody realized it? It's been under their noses the
They're
whole
called
time. Oh
YCs
my
and
God.
they're on the international exchange in multiple timelines. I can see it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's particularly when we can absolutely guarantee. I would love to, I'm just gonna magnetize it right now, Wiz. I'm just gonna magnetize it right now that we bring in these people who are, more clairvoyant folks, more astral projection folks, more people who are just into the clairvoyance, the clairaudios, down the line, in all directions. And man, we more and more of those folks are just gonna keep, moving, magnetizing into this beautiful reality experience that's being conjured right now. It's just amazing. We're gonna be riding this twister like Pecos
It
Bill.
is. You know what? That's a great analogy. You know, Pecos Bill or Slim Pickens
Yeah,
in Doctor
Slim
Strangelove.
Pickens. Slim Pickens is the
Yeah.
soundtrack for this extraordinary tornado that's being
A
created.
tornado with the mother of all bombs of love and light and clairvoyance. I think it's
Yeah.
great. Like the
Oh,
board
yeah.
meetings are really efficient because everyone just sits
Oh,
down
yeah.
from their spot and telepathy occurs. And there we go.
Oh,
We've got it
geez.
all
Yeah.
worked.
You know what? I think this is, you know, it'd be so great. We enlist the help of Alan Abel. I'm friends with, do you know who Alan
Alan
Abel is?
Abel. Is he related to
He
Abel
helped Andy
Danger?
Kaufman fake his death. He might be. That might be his alter ego. I would not be surprised if it wasn't. He's probably the entire mastermind behind that whole
Tell us
project.
about Alan Abel.
Well, Alan Abel, he taught Andy Kaufman how to fake his death.
Oh,
Alan
I
Abel
definitely need to know him
successfully.
then.
Oh, good God. I've got a freaking, if when you get an opportunity, Google it up, conjure it up. Andy Kaufman fake death alive archive. That is an article I wrote. Just look up anything that has to do with Andy Kaufman faking his death. You will find me somehow out there, either as CEC or Kurt Clendenin or Kurt E. Clendenin or Kurt Eric Clendenin, any one of those guys, and possibly wrapped in with my unconjoined brother, Clint Clendenin. He's out there in the ether as well. So we're not going to talk too much about that guy, but he's been my stunt man on a few occasions. He was left in the hospital, but that's all I'll say about that. So Alan Abel taught Andy Kaufman how to fake his death, and Alan Abel actually is this crazy hoaxer. Look up Abel Raises Cain, this entire documentary all about him. Abel Raises Cain and his daughter Jennifer Abel. She it was so funny. She grew up going, "My daddy's on TV," and then the kids would say, "Yeah, right. What does he do?" And then she would have the hardest time to say what it was he did because he took advantage. Alan Abel used it as an art form. Talk about the most purest performance art form. And by the way, Wizard, we're cooking up, we will, I'm telling you, our future selves are already doing it. This is just the seeds of that process, which people can then go
Totally.
backwards into the rabbit hole and then go, oh, these are the seeds. These are the golden nuggets. Okay, this is how they did
This was the
it. That's what's
giblets.
so
This
funny.
was the
Yeah, these are all the giblets and the morsalities.
mortality.
If you want to be fraunch about it, so this is how it always conjured, KONJOURED. If you want to be really European about it,
Bonjour. It sounds almost Cajun.
conjured,
Bonjour.
conjured,
Reality.
monsieur, conjured du jour, reality du jour. Oh, the reality of the
I
day. I love
know.
it.
The reality du jour.
Yeah, the reality du jour, monsieur et mademoiselle. So Alan Abel, he successfully faked his death in the New York Times for like a weekend, and then he got his wife to lie about it. He hired his buddy come up with this fake number, which was a funeral home. So when people called it up, they're like, "Oh yes, Alan Abel has died," and they were able to conjure up these fake documents. And everyone's like, oh my God, this media hoaxer has died? And then what, 3 days later, he's like, ah, I'm just kidding. I couldn't do it longer than a few days. I'm actually alive. And so he faked his death and he taught Andy Kaufman how to do it. Because Andy Kaufman, all throughout his whole life, he was fascinated with the idea of faking your death ever since Elvis Presley did it. And his grandpa was a jokester, and he would and even on his deathbed, he would pretend he was dying, and he'd get up and he'd do a tap dance. He's like, "No, I'm dying, Andy." So, and then his parents never told him that the grandpa died. So it was always this mystery. They're always like, "Oh, he went off on a vacation." So little Andy would stare out the window and wonder, when is grandpa Sai? When is Papa? Oh no, he called him Papu Sai. And he'd wonder, when is Papu Sai going to come back? And they're like, "Oh, he's just on a vacation." So Andy never really knew the reality of death, really. It was always this crazy thing to play with in someone's mind. It was either it happened or it didn't. So all he had to grow up with this very influential and crazy prankster growing up, Papu Sai. All of a sudden, Papu Sai, is he dead? Is he alive? What's going on? He never got full closure until after, many years later, his parents finally say, "Oh yeah, Pap, you know, he died, and this is because of the cancer or whatever." So then, as legend has it, Andy Kaufman faked his death with lung cancer, and that was the big joke because he never smoked. As Tony Clifton, yes, but that was on very rare occasions. But he happened to die, quotes, from lung cancer. And so a very rare form of lung cancer. And so there's the whole rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to even bring that up. But Alan Abel, I think we could totally get him behind the fact that the Wizard of L.A. oughts to be the mayor. Because, man, someone said this when I went to Columbia College in Chicago, where I learned the art of ensemble, of yes and, of improv, the purest form of improvisation. From the man himself, Sheldon Patinkin. He was one of the original Compass players who Viola Spolins was. So I was learning from one of the very almost founders of improvisation, one of the experiments of improvisation. And here I was learning from this guy who's the artistic director of the theater at Columbia College and also all of Second City as we know it, all of it. And he was like the root of it all. He went on to make SCTV and all this stuff. And so to learn the importance of ensemble work and being in tune with those energies and being aware of those and give and take, you know, equally, very simply, you know, and at the root of it, of course, the golden rule, which of course you brought up before, which is awesome because I've always equated Willy Wonka with, Alice in Wonderland, The Wizard of Oz, all those greats. And it's great that you're creating these kinds of beautiful, mythical, magical mayhems out there in the world for people to participate in or just observe. Either way, everybody wins.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the goal. Everybody that's wins. The intent. It's an everyone wins type of thing because, that's its own archetype. That's its own type of imagery. That's designed to give people that space of the imagination to operate in. You know, that is really good. The improv is, good improv or great improv is an example of good application of the golden rule. Yeah. You know,
the pyramid, the Lumi, if you will.
the Lumi on top of the whipped cream with the cherry.
Cosmic cherries.
Yeah, I think, and I've seen, there's a lot there. I think, first of all, with the death faking, I really get that, too. I've been fascinated with that myself. I think, you know what it is?
Oh, yeah.
You want to know really about the funeral, I think, more than a lot of it. You want to know how it's received if your presence is absent in the life of others. I think that's part of it, because you at that point, you can sort of determine what impact you may have had in your life.
You get to be a ghost, you know, you get to play with a parallel universe version of yourself being an actual ghost, a dead, you know, it's like you're preparing yourself, like rehearsal, dress rehearsal for like when it happens when you're a ghost. You're just like, oh, I'm going to actually truly experience the root of it now rather than wait till later after I'm dead. Just get to it now and see who shows up, who says what kind of speeches, how are they going to summon me up? Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, you know what? This is a great idea here, Kurt, because you know what? This is how you're brilliant. Because now I just see another lane of causality of a potential future where we do an event where we eulogize everyone. We basically, a public eulogy for whoever wants to show up.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, sign up to have your eulogy read.
We can carry a coffin around the city.
Yeah.
And we could take it to some interesting places. Actually, just having the coffin, some flowers, yeah, a few other little props.
Yeah.
You know, we just take it to some interesting
places. Dude. Oh my gosh. I love that idea. And I'm thinking if there are speakers attached to it. Okay. Right. This popped into my mind. So Gmail, you get Google voicemail. So we have people, we go, okay, these are the people. Number one, we have to do it underground. We go, okay, number one, who wants to be eulogized? Okay. We get it. This is by the end date. Okay. We need this by absolutely for certain. Then of course we give maybe a week or two secretly for a grace period. So we get that in on those voicemails. Now, who wants to be eulogized? Bam, they come in. We go, okay, we got your voice consent. You have to say it. You have to put in this Google thing. Bam, that in a sense is your sort of, what do they call it? You know, like a contract where it's like, this is your, I don't want to say NDA or I don't know, whatever the thing is. It's like, okay, this is your consent. You're saying it in your own voice. I want to be eulogized. Okay, then first phase. Second phase, we go, okay, bam, put out the thing. Do you know this person? If they were to die today, what wonderful memories would you share at their funeral? Okay, that's the second phase. We don't even tell them anything else. We just only give them, just like George Lucas. He goes, here's your part. Okay, all you got to do is here's that part. David Lynch, okay, here's that part. It's all you got to do. Here's that part. Just say, oh my gosh, no, I never thought it would happen. And then that's all I need for you to do. Okay, ready? Action. Okay, now pretend you're chewing on pickles. Add action. Okay, pretend your feet are on fire. Add action. You know, you go on forever. Bam, that's all we got. Now, we get all these people with the eulogies saying these wonderful things. Then we get those eulogies who came in. We run them through a loop on this casket that represent. It's like the unknown soldiers, team or whatever they call it. And it's like, I thought he was a wonderful man. He taught me T-ball, and that eventually I got a home run. And boy, I got a girlfriend because of it. Thank you, Frankie. You know, and then we play some like crazy trippy music between each one or whatever.
It's so brilliant. Or, yeah.
Dude, it would be a wonderful performance art piece. It would get people the opportunity to see, you know, if you want to show up for the memorial, for your friend's memorial, you know, just dress up in their favorite colors and or the, you know, whatever, however you really, really would want to honor them. We're just going to honor their death right now and all the great things you have to say. And then basically what we can do is buy a permit for, let's say, a block party or something. But it's a parade. We go up and down that little block. It's a parade. We don't have to go all over the city. We just have like one or two blocks. You just go back and forth. Also simulating infinity, right? So we're putting into the people, into the MC Escher, into that infinity, the I am of infinity. Mm. And then guess what? They show up for that memorial. They stand there in their colors. And then guess what? We could also, third phase, in a secret unlisted YouTube video. Do you want to learn the flash mob, so, you know, dance routine? So then at a certain time when they hear that song, they got to run out to the street and now hear this crazy, you know, unexpected flash mob that's going to happen. Dude, we can layer it's
beautiful.
So
I think we have to do this eulogy prank. Oh, you know, I can see some other variants that we can pull afterwards too. That this sort of fake stuff, like we have the Finnegan's Wake variant, where we let the person jump out of the coffin at the end.
Oh, I love it! Yeah, dude. That's like a hidden phase where people sign up to want to be inside their coffin and where they leap out at a certain time.
Right. We have the. The jazz funeral, the mobile jazz funeral parade, where we just go back and forth for two blocks and we get the brass band involved.
Dude,
and,
yes. Oh,
complimentary umbrellas for the kids.
They come
to
in
twirl.
From the sidewalks. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, dude. We just keep adding these layers. Okay, you're going on at 4:30. Just whatever happens, you're going on. When you hear the boom, 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 you're going out there, okay? And then, okay, bam, here's this time. And then the unicorns with the pegacorns come swooping in, you know, like those dinosaurs. That's when the dinosaurs come in. We're just, dude, it's just like a play. It's like a musical, right? We just do it outside. Here it is on a, you know, an average day where it's not a heat wave. We do it in a good time, you know, perhaps even where we know, okay, then we do another phase. Who loves Halloween? Who loves dressing up in costumes? Who wants any excuse in the world to dress in a crazy costume, to show off your crazy costume? Those who love going to the Comic Cons and the freaking cosplay people. Oh my God, let that freak flag fly, baby. You know, and bring even portable fans, and actually bring free, you know, with the Wizard of LA flags, and you shoot them up. Dude, it could be this crazy thing. People got portable fans. What about you? You know, do you got lights that you've always wanted to show off? Do you always wanted to use an invention? Oh my God, do we just do it to the max? Like those OK Go videos, dude. Could you imagine? This could be like this crazy. We invite anybody who has like their own magazine, any zine, anyone who loves crazy, ridiculous alternative media, podcasters. Oh, dude. We go into all the Facebook pages. Oh, my God. We get anyone who loves to go live on Instagram. We go, okay, who loves to go live on Instagram? So each day or each week, we have another thing. Who likes to do this? Add to this, voicemail. Let us know. Dude, then we could have a Tumblr or a Mixcloud page where we put those back up there. We echo it back out there. We go, guess what? Put this on your blog. Put this on your thing. Oh, my God. We just keep using the tuning fork. And tuning everybody in, and anybody who either A, loves attention, is a show off, loves to put out media, who loves to be a part of media, who loves to contribute, et cetera, and so forth. Yada, yada, yada. Words, words, words. Cosmicality, cosmicality. We just keep including them and just echoing it back out there. And as you've frequently talked about the echo, and it's so funny because I frequently talked about the echo when I was a substitute teacher, the echo, and going, look, you go, yole, hee-hoo, sooner or later, you're going to hear that come echoing in. Now, how soon do you want that to echo in? And plus, are you putting out vibes that you want to hear echoed back to you? So think about that, you know,
yeah.
Put that out there. So what's so awesome is that here you become this mascot. Oh my God, dude, could you imagine, washable paint? We do graffiti, but with washable paint. We go out there with these awesome stencils, Wizard of LA stencils. It's, organic, plant-based, whatever. Oh, my God. Wouldn't it be great? Like, your pets? Holy shit. Dude, imagine this. Those things grow in the dirt. So, in just, like, concrete. Can you imagine? We shoot these little things that are actually plant-based. Nobody realizes it. They're trying to, you know, it's washable, fully washable. We go out one night, shoot them down. You know, there it is. Everybody sees it for a day or whatever. Psh, sprinkle it out. Nobody cares. And then next thing, huh? Now it's in their brains. Like, what is this thing? And then it disappears. You know? And then, Whoa. Ooh, dude, imagine we do glow in the dark. Ooh, we do glow in the dark. So only the night people, the people who are out there walking, the pedestrians, those people are the thinkers. Those are the people who are riding the subways at night, the buses, who want late night thinkers. We do exactly what Gene Shepard did. Do you remember I, Libertine, what Gene Shepard did?
Refresh my memory.
Oh my God, Gene Shepard. Okay, I'll start it from here. Are you a fan of Christmas Story?
Yes.
Okay, you'll shoot your out, kid. So that guy who narrates it, his name is Gene Shepard, and he was the guy who did, he was a DJ, late night DJ. And I think he was in New York, and late night DJ, and he would always tell his stories about growing up in the Chicagoland area. That's why the Christmas Story takes place in the Chicagoland area. It's based on his stories. So then what's so crazy, his stories grew into books, and then those books grew into the movie Christmas Story, that's based on his stories. I mean, there's a treasure trove of stories that he's created. Now, in the night, what he came up with this philosophy. He said there are the day people and the night people. The day people are the 9-to-5ers, the people who are, you know, sort of the squares, sort of, you know, locked into this 9-to-5, you know, just this being, you know, in this in this thing, being tamed, and they go home and they got their family, and they go to sleep maybe around 7, and then they do it all over again. They're caught in the wheel, they're caught in the hamster wheel. Then there are the night people. Their night begins as soon as they get off work. That's when they're like, okay, here we go now. Those are the poets, those are the dreamers, the thinkers, the philosophers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The aliens, you know, communicating with their brethren out there in the multiverse on various planets and such. So those are the night people. And so he wanted to do a prank with the day people. And he goes, okay, everybody. Okay, buddy, I want you to invent an author. I want you to invent his short biography that would go inside a book. He goes, I'm tired of seeing these bestsellers show up in the New York bestsellers. Who makes those bestsellers? You know, who's responsible for that? And it's based on popularity. He goes, okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to get a fake book onto the New York Times bestseller. Who's with me? Who's willing? As you would say, I'm willing to buy into that reality. I find value in that reality. Let's buy into that. Let's create that reality. Let's conjure it, you know, doody 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 doo, as Wizzo did on the Bozo show. Doody doody doo. He casts a magic amulet, brings it about, you know, genie plus us is the genius. And we were talking about that. It's like, bam, we're the ones who are conjuring it.
Let's see, you're building the consensus.
Oh my gosh. And what's so crazy is here we are creating that same reality. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden he came up with the biography and there was a guy, what was his name? The author's name was like Ewing. It was called like, I don't know, something EJ Ewing or something. So, and
that sounds legit enough to not be fake.
Yeah. Legitimate enough. And they didn't just stop at just like coming up with this fake biography. They were like, it was originally planned as a trilogy. You know, here's the first book in that trilogy. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like giving this idea of like a future life as well. So it makes it even more probable that, you know, who would make this up? So it was one in a series and it was called I, Libertine. And so they came up with a biography. J.R. Ewing. Yeah, J.R. Ewing. And so they came up with this whole thing and he goes, guys, guess what? Tomorrow when you get off work and on your lunch breaks, go out to local bookshops and ask them about this book. And they'll look it up, they'll call up their people, and those people be like, I haven't heard of this. And they're like, well, it must be sold out because it's like it's on the New York Times bestseller list. It's like it's the best book ever. We need to read this now. I'm so anxious, I'm itching. So he goes, okay, the first time you'll put a question mark in their brains. You go on the next day. Second time, they'll go, you know, people have been coming in here asking about this. Okay, must be a very hot topic. I better call up my publishers and put in an order. So then they give the publishers, you know, an idea of what the book is. You know, here, just look for this in your database. Please get back to me if you find it. And so now it's in their brains. So then the third time when the person comes in, they're going, oh my gosh, everybody's, you know, the magic number 3, you've brought that up on many occasions. This links right back into your what it, coming out of your brainstem. And all of a sudden, third time, they're going, oh my gosh, everybody's asking about this. This must be really something to consider. Then they're like, please, or I need to order more of this. I need to order more of this. And then the publisher goes, I don't know, it must be out of print. So they're calling up the publishers are going, okay, they said it was made by, you know, Ballantine Press. What the hell's going on with this book? And then now Ballantine Press has a question mark in their brains. And it's like everybody, these invisible tentacles are going, they're caught in the, oh, you know, they're just caught right in that middle of that like being in the meditative state, in the imagination state, you know, in exactly the hypnosis state. And also, what if you've ever seen They Live, of course, for the at-home viewers and listeners, They Live. I mean, it's bringing that in, bringing in what all the advertisers are doing, all the marketers, but we're doing it in a very nutritious way. So now here this guy puts all these question marks and eventually guess what happens? That book, I, Libertine, goes into the New York Times bestseller list as the first bestseller. And everyone's like,
they got it in. Hell?
Then and it's like all just by people believing this dream, buying into this dream, going, you know, just like Burning Man. How cool is that, right? When you trace the roots, I saw this documentary about these guys, you know, starting it out on the beach. Wow. How cool is that? It started with a memory, with a brain, with a you know, a dream, an imagination. That's what you're doing with the Wizard Walk, man.
Totally. It's a handful of people. I already see the long game. I see how everything started that way. You know, everything that anyone ever knows, you can often trace back to starting with this little spark of a thing.
Oh, man.
Caught on fire, you know. You know, the Doors used to play to an empty house up at the Whiskey A Go Go. You know, like no one knew what was happening there except for the people that knew. And Burning Man, you know, a handful of people on the beach, and now a city of over 60,000 or more people.
Oh my God!
So it's you know, if you think in a nonlinear time sense. And you see sort of what a sustained action can do, and you're willing to dream for it, because everything you see around you, you know, it was created. Every skyscraper started with one brick that was laid.
Yeah. And a guy who was drawing it on something, and it was a sketchy thing. He's like, well, I'm thinking this over here and maybe a fireplace here. Let's run maybe some electricity over there.
Yeah.
And then they believed in that dream, and it just took root. How cool is that? Those roots, those little seeds.
You just have to share it. And so at the point that we can start to get more folks, and really it's the most lasting change is the change that you're going to make within yourself. That's the true change.
Ooh.
And, you know, it keeps it honest and self-regulating. You make the change in yourself.
Yeah.
Then you're going to be attuning to other vibrations that are similar with that. And you're not telling other people how to live. Rather, you are figuring out how you want to live.
Man.
And then you're magnetizing with other folks like that.
Yeah. And it's like the easiest, smoothest way of ever really truly affecting change. That's the big joke that is just not I mean, this is a truly educational. This really, I'll just say, you future folks, your kids are listening to this in every class. This is the Mr. Rogers the lowdown. The roots.
Yeah, it really is. And like, that's a major influence in my work. The other one is, you know, with the whole the Wizard of LA as a incepted concept. Really, if you know who Emperor Norton was of the Americas, maybe some folks may want to look him up. He was the declared emperor of the Americas in San Francisco.
Oh my God.
And he actually made his own currency. And people honored it. And,
oh God!
He was a pretty forward-thinking guy. And,
we could do this with the Wizard of LA.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! I just had a vision. Yeah. Okay, so imagine the Wizard of LA business cards—they're biodegradable and they got seeds in them, so they really truly have value. Now, this encourages people to plant the seeds that are inside the card. And plus, if they throw it, you know, it's like, look, if you actually decide to litter, please do it in the grass. You know, just please put it in the grass. This is biodegradable. We'll have it stamped all over the card.
Oh,
you know, these will truly be beautiful. Valuable. There won't be a lot of them, but with those, you know, okay, so those are saved as currency. So those who show up for the Wizard Walks, for, you know, we could get the buttons out there. Those are mobile billboards. Now, I'm thinking too, how crazy would that be? If there must be some way of putting in, probably, man, if we could link up with a sponsor of someone who does like micro speakers, but still are loud, and it's like, beep, you push a little button on the back of the button, a button on the button, a fractal, if you will. and it says like these little nuggets of the Wizard of LA wisdom, you know, that they'll just have in their brains. It's like you'll always have your inspiration with you as you're walking. Like, okay, if you're ever in doubt, boop, push this button. Here's another inspirational thing.
Quick, simple mantras of positive propaganda.
Yeah!
Farm to table reality, and here's your seed.
Oh my God!
It's the Johnny Appleseed concept.
Absolutely.
Near and dear to your heart. I think both of us, we really enjoy that story.
Yeah!
I'm loving this. I think that's great. I want to look into the seeded
business. Wow.
You grill a garden while you promote. It's
brilliant. Oh my God. Grow your own garden, dude. That's a brilliant way. Yeah, because then you go, okay, look into balcony, you know, for gardens. Okay, maybe that's the thing. Those are the seeds inside the card. They're nutritious. You know, they're vegetables grown with ozonated water in the most loving environment. They're always played. Ooh, okay. Have you heard of the midi sprout, right? What Midi Sprout? There's a Midi Sprout app that you can get. This is what's beautiful. It plays the plant music. So imagine, dude, talk about echoing. You grow, not necessarily the warehouse version of it, but a microcosm of it, where you grow. Okay, so we grow our tribe. You know, we find our own people. We grow the Wizard of LA, you know, the nutritional seeds, the plants. And so when those have the seeds, those are the seeds that go into these cards. So it's like they were grown with positivity. Now, the Midi Sprout, if you hook up these little sensors onto the leaves, if you look on YouTube, you'll see, look up Midi Sprout plant music. This is the actual thought impulses of the plants interpreted, translated into musical notes. Oh my god. And it's like the more it's playing, the more it's understanding itself, and you start, these things start jamming with each other because the other plants start hearing themselves and they're teaching the other plants how to do it. Oh my god, it's astounding.
That's brilliant. So imagine, no, on the correspondent level, on the as above so below, as below so above,
and then that's played. Yes, that's played for the seeds that are then growing of these plants.
Yeah,
you know. Oh my god.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, I really love it. That's a brilliant.
Just feeding
idea.
It back to itself, it's greatness. You know. Well, so let's say,
and it gives value right away. I mean, let's face it. Like at the moment that you know you're interacting with someone. And they're providing a value immediately. Like you're part of the solution at that point. At the moment that you come in and you provide value immediately. See, this is the other thing is I think why I'm doing this the way that I'm doing it is because with more acclaim that I can accrue, this title of this thing.
Yeah, dude.
It adds a value to anyone I interact with because then,
oh my god,
then I can enhance their legend because it's like, okay, well, let me get this picture of you, and then you're the man, and here, you know, it's like, oh, I know Mayor McCheese, like that's so cool.
Dude, that is so funny, dude.
You know,
Big
Mac,
absolutely, dude. A character that's reached through all the media, and he's actually showing you the media right there in front of your own eyes. The most root cosmic media that you should ever choose to have, because then what's so great is that people become the media makers,
right?
Because they're recording with their cell phones, putting live on Instagram, and you know, hashtag the Wizard of LA, and boop 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 boop, and out goes those reverberations. Oh my gosh.
And then we can start to do some of these more enhanced things, because at the point that you know, we gather our group of merry folks together, and you know, we've got a nice nice rounded cadre to go and do these things with, it really opens up some doors to be able to do some really sensational performance art and creating consciousness content, because ultimately you know, my answer is you really have to make the change yourself, and you know, you can blame other people, or you can sort of point a finger and absolve yourself of any responsibility of it. Though if everyone tended to their own garden, the situation would be very different.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have a lot of those issues. So it's like at the point that, you know, we can get up, and it honestly, it doesn't have to suck. Like, I don't think it has to be this thing where it's really challenging or difficult in a way that's not rewarding at all. It starts really with just a paradigm shift first and foremost, and that's it.
Yeah.
At that point, you will find ways to make it to where you realize, hey, you know what? Like, it's, I don't have to be angry at this other person situation or this party or whatever it is because they're only operating from the point of view of where their consciousness and their thoughts of an experience have brought them. You know, you have to get mad when you realize that they're only making the decisions based on what they think is a good decision to make because of their experience and what level of consciousness they're thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
So that can really take the sting out of it. I know, you know, a lot of folks, I have friends and people I know that, you know, they get very outraged at a lot of what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, politically and with a lot of situations that are happening in the world. And, you know, that level of vibration or energy, if you get outraged by that, it's worth asking yourself how you think that's ultimately going to improve the situation at all. And if you come away and you don't think that it is, then come on over here and start looking at things that you can do just on your own that are going to do that, because that is the surest fire way. You know, if you have a product and no one likes it, they don't buy it. And the product leaves the market.
Yeah.
And this goes for a point of view or a paradigm as well.
Yeah, because
you just move into the paradigm and you don't even have to focus on any of it, because it can be tough for people. We know it's like you see things going on with the people and the animals of the planet, and you're like, come on,
dude.
Like, you know, something's got a gift here. And it's
oh my God.
You know, you want to be part of the solution? Come on over here and show it. And at the point that you can put up a mirror or a lens to it, that you know, sort of fun house in its own right, like,
dude,
if that's your way, you can process that shadow stuff of it, because some people are like, I can't just ignore it, I can't just, you know, it's like, well, you know what, call it out then for
what,
you know, see what it is and do it though in a way that is positive and thought-provoking and empowering to the other individuals, because, you know, those are people too. You know, Mr. Johnson, corporate slime, he's got feelings. He's a person too. He doesn't know beyond what he knows. You know, at the point, if you make him into the super monster and the big bad, he will inhabit that role.
Wow.
He has no choice otherwise. You know, like, it's like
you
put him in the position of backed into a corner to do that. At the point that you could go, you know what, at the end of the day, like those cartoon sheepdogs that punch the clock and shake hands. Like, you know what, this is what you did. Hey, how about this? Come on over and check this out.
Well, it's so fun. It's like, it's really truly putting the full responsibility in the court of the person who's choosing to view it as such. We're truly going, okay, we're giving you the opportunity to define this to you. Now, why are you choosing it to define it as such? And what value are you finding? What value are you finding within that definition? How good does that feel? Do you want to change that definition? Yes or no? If you want to change that definition, the beautiful thing is our arms are open here, ready to have a hug, you know,
that's it.
Ready to take you aboard and join the train.
That's
you
it. Know? And it's not preachy from that perspective. It's saying, look, we're here. Come and see if you want to do things this way, because we know what it's like when you want solutions and you're looking around and you're like, well, where do you go when the world's on fire?
Oh my gosh.
Where do you run? You know, we know what that feeling's like. And so, like, that's for me, I have to be part of the solution. And I know I can't tell someone, I have no interest in telling someone this is what it needs to be. Mm. And frankly, you know, I wouldn't claim to be qualified to do that. Maybe I am. I wouldn't claim to be qualified to do that. I can speak for myself and say that at the point that I offer an alternative, that you offer an alternative of how to be that is solutions based, it is on each individual, and it is purely their responsibility and their choice if they want to embrace that or not. And anything that's worthwhile, it's going to get embraced. Like, people will find it. If it's good, they can find it, you know.
It's
they can
offering
do their
an
part to help it.
Yeah, and it's offering an opportunity for anyone to respond. We're giving them. It's like, here's this door. You just saw this open, didn't you? We're leaving it open here for you. You know, you see it, you notice it, you feel the light shining on you, reflecting off of you, and going, I see a piece of myself within this. I really would like to join the merry men, so to speak, the pranksters, the merry pranksters, the, you know, the beats, the, you know, the
pranks with purpose. It's like, you know, it's I think people already, because we've got a lot of folks out there, and you know, this short is
it's being a beacon.
Yeah, like they're looking, they're like, oh, well, you know, something. I am doing the math here. What is happening?
I'm doing the math here.
Wait, I carried the one. What? Yeah.
Like, I'm doing the math
totally
here.
Carrying the one. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, this is not fitting within my algebra. I can't compute.
Yeah, it's and I feel that's brilliant. We're so blessed in so many ways. It's easy to see the downsides of it, and yet we're so blessed in so many ways right now.
Oh my God.
Create that level of change, because you know we are the media, we are the creation point of these things, and that we can go ahead and do that. You know, I've got this idea of, just from our conversation, of doing this thing. If you know what a Beowulf cluster is,
no, but I want to know.
Reference to you know, when you've seen like you've probably seen it in like cartoons and comics where they have like you know, all the TV monitors, all the computers tied together in this big giant thing with all these screens around.
Pillar or cylinder.
You know? We could do that with people roving through a city and their phones.
Oh my God.
That we could make a there we go. I'm putting this one on the books, Kurt, as a possible would you like to do this?
Would you like to be
a human Beowulf cluster? You know, they've showed human centipede. Have they shown a human Beowulf cluster?
Yeah, and by the end you grow into a butterfly, so to speak, right? You've morphed.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about it, okay? Like, let's say we put the call out and we get, like, anyone that would claim to be any kind of social media influencer at all, okay?
Yeah.
You know, from little to small, basically, if this is what your bag is, you want to be doing that kind of thing.
Okay? Yeah.
We put the call out and we say, okay, here's the deal. We're going to run the gauntlet from here to here.
Gauntlet, yeah.
We get them all together.
It's got to be a gauntlet.
And we go to focused, targeted areas of city. And you know what? It could be employed to multiple ends. It could be employed to educate and show different things. So these things could, you know, pop off all over the world. We could be like, hey, you know what? Yeah, Los Angeles, Hollywood. Hey, what happens if you bring the Beowulf cluster to Skid Row and just walk through with it? Like, hey, there's you know, or you know, we do it another way. Say, okay, we got these other guys, and you know, we think that these people are worth shining a light on because of the work that they're doing in the arts, in places of consciousness. Maybe it's just, you know, whatever.
Dude,
human tricks, hidden talents. And then we go and we focus the Beowulf cluster on that. And we basically create like a showcase where it's this mega, you know, it's like Star Search Millennial.
Holy
edition.
Oh my God. Dude,
we can even get you in an Ed McMahon outfit, Kurt.
Oh yeah. Oh my God, dude, you just gave me a big idea. When you brought up Skid Row, I'm sure it would not cost much for us to block off whatever that block is, and we actually truly put on that parade. Obviously, we make sure we're very, very clean. We put on a lot of, you know, whatever. We are make sure, because I heard there are certain diseases out there that only are particular to them. But I think with our positivity, with our chanting, with whatnot, what we do is we bring this crazy extravagant thing to them right there. Imagine if we brought them up to display their talents. How crazy would that be, dude?
Oh, no, you know what? That's totally doable, actually. You know, they have a karaoke night down there.
Oh, they do?
At the local church. And they also have incredibly talented people.
Oh my God.
That are down there.
So maybe the parade ends. We do this crazy parade on those few, you know, beep, 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 up and down. We do this awesome, like, just good vibe. You know, there's a lot of, like, sage and all this great, like, you know, incense. Just, ooh, you know, and we bring up the vibe of this place. Can you imagine all those people? You know, we're going to have a 1 minute of silence. And, you know, and you just, let's all try to harmonize. Think about, oh, my gosh, oh, the beautiful weather. You know, so we try to harmonize. Bam. 1 minute of silence, everyone harmonizes, and then bam, starts back up again. And it's like, ooh, could you imagine? Could you imagine? That would be another phenomenal. We get that geologist dude in there. He's a geologist, so I'm sure he's got special equipment. I'm sure he's got other crazy merry pranksters like himself within the circles.
All you need is a white lab coat and letters today. And people will buy it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then we do a photocopy of his his of his diploma in a plaque.
He's got wall candy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, wall candy. We specialize in wall candy. Call us up for your favorite wall candy. Want to graduate with honors? Call us. We'll make you the best wall candy.
I've got a PhD in wisdomology at Miskatonic University. Oh. I just want to let anyone know.
Oh, that's good.
Other alumni out there.
Well, and, your future mayor self will be putting that out there. So that's what I want Alan Abel to help you with becoming wizard. I mean, the mayor of L.A. The wizard of L.A. runs as the mayor. I think
that's free parking for everyone is the platform. Just absolutely. So you know. It's going to raise consciousness everywhere.
It really is. People will wake up on – that'll just on itself wake people up from the right side of the bed.
Yeah. Yeah. I say, look, come out. Your businesses will thrive. Your consciousness will
grow. Oh, yeah.
Because you can park wherever you want. It's the first city in the States that's ever done that. It's free parking.
Oh, God.
And, yeah, it's important. Dude,
and maybe you say, and you guarantee, and you say, listen, if you are, we'll give you the free parking, but this has really got to be a give and take situation. So you have 2 hours parking. That's it. At any one time, you have 2 hours parking because you never know who's going to come along and need that parking. But you know, it's the honor system. It's like the 2 hours parking. And maybe there's like this that goes on every two hours. Like, okay, be a nice guy, you know, be nice and pull your car out of here, please. You know? And so people know, like, okay, cool. All right, I'm out of here. Okay, thank you. You know, so it's like this idea of, like, leaving that random act of kindness for the next people coming in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. It's when you see people that do that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I noticed in Japan where you can go to the bus stations and there's complimentary matcha tea waiting for you.
Oh my God. Station.
You know, like it's a different mentality when it's like, oh yes, here's, here's something, here's tea, here's a place to get water and a cup or something. And that a people in an area can actually have the forethought to take care of those things because they realize holistically that they're connected to other people and that, you know, they're going to utilize that as well.
Now
that's a very different paradigm to live in.
Oh yes. Well, and I love that idea of becoming the programming, becoming the education. Mm-hmm. Easy, effortless way. You know, so it's like, this is the funny thing. It's like, okay, anybody's judgment is out of our hands. It's, you know, we go gong, you know, it's out of, mm-hmm. We just ring the bell. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to ring the bell, might as well be in the most exciting, joyous, enlightening imagination that suits our best and favorite needs and joyous needs, because like, what other else is there? And that's most likely the cause why people will dislike something, because they will sense that element of like, oh, do you like me? You know, but mm-hmm. I just am so enthralled with creating this reality, and let's just do this. And put it out there. For instance, this just blipped my antenna. Now, is there any permit that is needed to play in those nice echoey areas of like in the subway area? Like there's this one that has this great tile. It looks like a checkerboard. It goes around the corner. It's like this great checkerboard. I'm not sure which station it is. Maybe you know of the most ideal station. But heck, if we were to just put on improv shows for an hour, you know, it'd be cooler down there because heat rises. Number mm-hmm. two, it would bring a smile to these people's faces as mm-hmm. they come from somewhere and go somewhere. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot about this guy, Elier Larson, and he was known as the Greeter. And I did an entire podcast about this guy. I was so fascinated about him. I went down a rabbit hole. And he used to wear this red shirt, blue pants. He was from Denmark. And they call him a Danish vagabond. And he would stand in Laguna Beach and just go, hello, are you alive? Are you alive? Hello. And that's I'm brilliant. Like, oh, my God. Little do we realize we're embracing the spirit. We are becoming this, you know, instead of a stationary greeter, we are mobile greeters.
Yeah.
And we're just open to that, just pure. And because his philosophy was, these are people who are coming in. I see them with frowns. And, you know, there are these rich people who have very few friends, but I have the most friends and the least amount of money. And he would always give away everything to everyone. He would always read about books about psychology, about philosophy. Give him away, give him away, give him away. And people gave him free rent. They gave him free food, you know, and just, and
yeah.
They brought the statue of this guy. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that popped into my brain, especially with just that openness.
We could do that. He was providing value. He came in and it wasn't about extracting. It was about giving something of value.
Yes.
And that made the difference. When you go in to an interaction, and if you're thinking about how you can help the other person,
yes,
it's a different feeling. And when you move from that intention, you're rewarded through universal law. You really feel it.
Oh, man.
And it's a different way to be. We can do that. I think, so far as I know, as long as you're not, I think we're good. I think we can.
I mean, I know we could perform on the subway, which would also be fun. You know, absolutely be fun. We just provide, you know, right there on the subway too. That can be an additional one too. And plus, we've also done that. You know, I mean, God, oh, that was so fun. It was just so fun and freeing, and just able to. You know, it's so crazy because we're invoking all of these wonderful elements of these, you know, ceremonial and sacred things. And the fact that Reverend Mark brings these ceremonial flutes and drums.
Yeah.
And
this stuff that's been going on for thousands of years. You know, we're reskinning it just for the modern. That's kind of a beauty in its own way, because it's like, well, now we have the ability to show it around the world, you know.
Oh yeah,
it would be like the tribe that has their rite and rituals that sort of help them, you know, heal and and provide a joy and an energy and an uplifting spirit.
Oh yeah,
that we're actually utilizing them, and you know, use the word invoke. It's very good. I mean, we did the Sages of Sovereignty on the 4th of July. And that was a full-on rebirthing ritual with just
a
couple of folks, though the ritual stands. And it's a thing, you know, I feel like when we talk about these ideas and what we're really after, that we're making the renaissance of Los Angeles, of ourselves, a new paradigm of thinking. And at the point that gains critical mass, we've really changed it. And all this is a sustaining game. It's a game the way that the water hits the rock and carves mountain and valley.
Oh, God. And I'm already I'm foreseeing the Wizard of LA. I'm foreseeing the Wizard of LA, a performance art piece. You know, let's say it's only a half an hour, but it's this taste of just dynamic stuff. And that's where we could pass out those cards that are biodegradable and have the seeds in them. You know, it writes it all on there and maybe has a little sheet in there that's also biodegradable. Maybe it's one of those tattoos, those fun, like Wizard of LA tattoos, like you see in the Craig Jack boxes, and you put the water on it, like.
Yeah, flash tattoos. That's a great.
Oh, yeah. And we just.
Do you have some Yachtly Cruise for that yet? That seems like they would loan itself very
much. Really should. Oh, my God. I gotta write that down. And I'm thinking the Wizard of LA opens for Yachtly Cruise, because we've already had tribute bands, like, for instance, Pris. Oh my God, they were so fun. This female Chris, this all female, well, except for, it was funny I said Chris, because Peter Chris was a guy, but the other gals were, it was female. They were awesome, rocking out as these characters, so committed. And they opened up for Yachtly Cruise. Another time it was a Duran Duran tribute band that opened up for us. Another time it was a AC/DC band that opened up for us. Another time, you know, it was just like these various. Another time it was like these UK British Invasion bands that opened up. So it was so fun to like have these various kinds of acts. And I know I could tell these guys, like, look, guys, let's bring in the Wizard of LA, you know, stage show into this thing. And that could be this fun opening thing that kind of goes on tour with Yachtly Cruise. So then it also enabled me to do this crazy surreal thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it'd be so fun.
Oh, yeah.
We got some surrealists in our band and others who I think just need an excuse to be brought out, you know? And I think before we know it, there'd be this opening thing where all these different alter egos, and then open up. Here comes Yachtly Cruise. And, you know, there's the wizard where he's got the circle around him and he's doing this crazy magic, you know, with his levitating wand and all this stuff. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, dude. And that's where we got the swabbers or whatever you call them. The Yahtzees, you know, got these gals who are like, you know, dressed as sailors. And
Swabs and Yahtzees.
Man. Oh, my God.
It's beautiful, you know. And, you know, the call's out. I think it's worth saying to the listeners that we're ever interested in expanding our merry little band.
Oh my God, hold on. I'm not sure. Real quick, I don't know how long this is able to go, but it's down to the last 10 seconds. So I'm going to save this and then I'll call you right back.
All right, gotcha.